just had my first three walkouts, or four walkouts. They're already leaving.
And unfortunately, they're all from Chicago.
Try to make this as quick as possible. First, as I always do, basically this is the headlines from our last meeting in September. You know, what's been going on or what's not been going on. First thing, of course, is that the budget impasse, this is my acute grasp for the obvious, the budget impasse continues on, both with regard to the state budget and, of course, onto our appropriation, and the monetary assistance program is in limbo. We're in day 132 of the state without a budget. We're certainly in uncharted territories as far as the budget situation in the state of Illinois, and in turn for the University of Illinois. What we do, the only two data points that are still operational are essentially the governor's budget with the 31.5% cut, which was the $209 million cut, and the legislature passed, which was a 8.5% cut, or $57 million. So those are basically the two data points that are still out there. There was an attempt on Tuesday night to try to pass this 8.5% budget reduction, but it failed in the House, and so it looks like we're not going to be seeing anything until January, February, as far as as budget activity. But we will continue to advocate for the university. The state did pay us a positive. The state did finish paying us after our September board meeting. They did finish paying us our FY15 appropriation, net the $19 million rescission. Very concerned now about the payment of managed care Medicaid claims and deposits to the Medicaid trust fund are very much in jeopardy and very much of concern to us. The Medicaid trust fund is essentially exhausted, and basically this is the mechanism that we use to basically generate a federal match for our Medicaid dollars, and that's of a great concern. We've been working with the state to try to figure out what we can do. Payrolls, we continue to make the payrolls based on the continuing appropriation and continuing budget that the board passed in May of this year. We are now, we're putting out about $75, $80 million a month in payroll that essentially eats into our reserves as we make those payments. A couple of good things, I think we did finish an audit with the Office of the Inspector General for NSF, or for the National Science Foundation. They looked at, and when they come in, their analytical audit team comes in, they're looking for recovery of dollars from whoever they're auditing. I mean, that's their job. They're very tactical about how they approach. They looked at $435 million over a couple of years of NSF expenditures, grant expenditures by the University of Illinois. And when all was said and done, and it all wrapped up, their total disallowed costs were $102,000 on $435 million. This is a big success for the university, and certainly that little number will be handled ministerially, and this is a big success for us to have that type of finding with that audit. Lastly, I guess, you know, two-edged sword, we basically were affirmed our rating. Why Moody's was affirmed a week ago. Our rating is a AA3 rating with a negative outlook. I'm going to talk a little bit more about how the outside world sees us, but what happens is the state was downgraded to a Baa1, which is really pretty terrible. And when we look at sovereign credits, and the state of Illinois is looked at almost like a nation when you look at the credit ratings. But the moment that happened, we get a call from Moody's, and they say, we have to look at you. And we had a couple of hours to basically respond to them, and they basically came out within 72 hours of the state's downgrade with an affirmation of our rating. And I'll talk about their rationale in just a second. And lastly, of course, since the September meeting, we are constantly having requests for information coming from the state, and we are providing them data on a regular basis, almost on a daily basis. Randy Shop is doing a great job of just responding to the data requests that are coming in on a regular basis. I want to take a look at what Moody said, what the rationale was, because this is how the outside world is looking at the University of Illinois and thinking about us as a credit. The strengths that, you know, Moody's talk about, the pros and the cons, the pros or the strengths that they talk about, we are the flagship institution for the state of Illinois, and they saw the enrollments. They see that we have strong student demand, continue to have very strong student demand for the University of Illinois. They looked at our liquidity, our cash, and as I said, we've been preparing for this for years now, and that they saw that we still had decent liquidity, and overall we had favorable financial resources. One of the big things for us is the third item, is basically we have diverse revenue sources, and basically it's a real driver to have almost $900 million in federal grant expenditures is basically a player in our resources. We do have a modest debt burden, and they did give a nod to our fundraising capacity or capabilities, and then they did say nice things about the proactive financial management, basically preparing for this day. I think the challenges are pretty obvious. Basically, all relates to essentially to the state situation. And I put these, all this stuff has been put in court, so I lifted them directly out of the report, out of the Moody's report. State operating support will remain pressured, kind of an understatement. And particularly for us, and one of the pressures is the growing on behalf payments that they make for the university when they're paying for the benefits and the pension costs of the university. And then basically they've seen for years and continued, now we don't have any payments, but continued delays in state funding. That's always a concern to them, as it would affect us. And then, of course, the growing capital needs. They see that there have been no capital bills for the University of Illinois over the last dozen years, except for 1 year. And they know that we have been capital investment needs in comparison to our peers. And so those are some of the pressures that they see and some of the challenges they see when went into the rating consideration. So that's a quick shot. I would report to you that Standard & Poor's, and I see Dr. Ghosh here, basically was combing through the hospital yesterday. I mean, we basically, and we will await their response, and basically looking at the rating for the hospital. We have not heard yet from Standard & Poor's with regard, because Standard & Poor's has not taken any action on the state as of yet. So, but I do expect once they take some action on the state, if they take action, we will hear from them. Quickly to, I like to put this up. This is all the Big Ten universities that issue debt, except for Wisconsin. Wisconsin basically doesn't. The University of Wisconsin does not issue debt. It's all issued by the state, so they are not rated. But over here on the left side, you can see now that the university, we're holding on to that AA3 rating, and the state is now down at a BAA1. So we're essentially five notches higher than the state. And I don't know how, that's going to be very difficult to hold that position. And you can see some of the other ones that basically you've seen in the past. I was doing some auditing because I know Pennsylvania. I was chatting with my Penn State colleagues on Monday. Pennsylvania also has no budget, though their reliance on state dollars is much less on a percentage basis than the University of Illinois in Illinois. But they have seen a downgrade. Pennsylvania, the state of Pennsylvania, was just recently downgraded, and also I think New Jersey has also just been recently downgraded. So, but this is a comparison state ratings to the Big Ten to the Big Ten ratings. Quickly, a shot at the situation as far as kind of a new way of presenting this. We've always presented it as essentially what the appropriation was, how much we've billed, how much we've received. Our new category here in 2016 is this is basically the pile of unbilled bills that we have that we would give to the state if we had an appropriation. And it's $357 million, essentially primarily payroll for the 4 months. And it will jump another $75 million with the November payroll coming up next week. And we've also added to this the MAP, so of $31 million so would be the expected MAP amount based on the prior year. So a total of like $388 million that we would have expected to get from the state, and basically awaiting an appropriation and a monetary assistance program to actually bill it. The state has no ability to accept our bills, so we have to hold them and await for some action on the state's. But this is how much we're essentially eating into the reserves to date. And I fully expect this number, when we come back in January, to be another, $150 million higher. This is one of the pressure points that they talk about in the Moody's report, basically paying for this. Again, the state is paying this whole almost $1.2 billion in payments on behalf, and this is a big pressure point for them. They see this, if this continues, you know, how can the state continue to pay this and basically meet the other obligations that the state has? So I think that's a big concern. You've seen this before. This is essentially the total cost of paying for the employer share of benefits and health care, of pension and health care benefits, and this is a big concern to the state, to Moody's. And the other one is, you know, basically this, basically looking at the map and the concern about map. And when you look at this is a kind of like a segment of Dr. Pierre's presentation from yesterday. It's really the big components of our financial aid. It is essentially the pieces that's Pell, is the federal grants. It is our own supplemental aid, and it's MAP. And MAP is about a third of this aid that comes to the students, to undergraduates. And when you think about what's the importance of MAP at $60 million, we have almost 7,000 students at Urbana, undergraduates, that basically partake in MAP. We have almost 8,000 students at UIC that are partaking in MAP, and over about 800 at UIS that are at MAP. And so they're all involved in this. Essentially, we look at this as essentially a contract between the state and the students, the state and the parents, and we are essentially the custodian to make this happen. And that's the kind of the situation we're in, but I think that's the impact, and you can see the number of students there basically would be impacted by what's going on with the MAP situation and not having an appropriation for MAP. Last one, of course, the state, you know, the Moody's is basically, again, and you've seen this before, is basically our lack of capital, and that's a concern to Moody's. They know we have capital needs. They know we have a big deferred maintenance situation this is a big concern to Moody's that we are not getting capital dollars. And again, all the capital projects that we have, the state capital projects, are all been frozen. They've stopped. We're trying to move it along with some of our own dollars, but all those state projects have stopped and continue to be frozen. The news, I think, is pretty straightforward. On the tuition front, as far as FY16, basically this is the billings and collections for the fall semester. It's pretty inconsistent with the size of the total amount of tuition we expect for the fiscal year. It's consistent with last year's collections and levels. If you kind of double this, there's like three pieces to it. There'll be a spring semester, and then there'll also be a summer. So basically, you just can't double this initial 537. You have to have a summer, but it's consistent. We're collecting the tuition that's out there, except for the MAP. The hospital. A hospital is basically, again, reported to you already about the concern about the Medicaid managed care and the Medicaid trust fund concerns. Through the first 3 months, it was essentially had an operating margin of about $500,000, so positive about $500,000. That continued to keep the volumes up and the activity up. But again, with the exhaustion of the Medicaid trust fund, that's a big concern going forward. And compared to the three months last year, when there was $2.8 million in the hole last year at the same time. The quick run of what it looks like as far as federal grants. This is really what the federal government thinks that we basically has been the amount available for federal grants, both looked at as defense and non-defense. You can see that over the last 10 years, the amount that is available for defense has come down 17.6% from $92 billion down to $75 billion for what would be available for defense. Again, 16 is what they're proposing for grants. The non-defense is pretty much static, and that's where NSF and NIH and all that, that's where we can, but that's been pretty much static as far as what the federal government, what they think is going to happen in 16. Again, quick, in the next slide will be the quick review of how we stood over the years. We basically, it's a over the this period presented, this 10-11 year period, it's up about 12%, but you can see the big ratchet up in 2013. You can see the big blue, which is NSF. This is where the supercomputer is. This is where why we had such a big pop in 2013. But you can see the size of the dollars again that, you know, coming. Of course, the big components are in the blue is NSF dollars, the red is NIH, and the black is education dollars. But Pell would be in that black. So, as far as what's going on with our federal expenditures, I wanted to give you a quick shot of how the change in pension is affecting us. This is, you know, there's always been this concern about how the going from the truncation of the tier one, the more the traditional benefit, that had been beginning in January of 2011, new employees of the university all were in the tier two, or they had to go to the SMP, or in the SMP. And what this says is you can see that the total level of employees that are SERS eligible, the blue are the ones that are in the tier two, and the orange are the ones that remain in the tier one. And you can see as they drop off, we basically have filled in with the tier two employees. In fact, we have in the tier two now, we have 8,154 employees, and in the tier one, we have 18,351 employees that are in the tier one. And then also the effect, because we always have this concern about the effect on faculty, and this is tenured faculty, and how the pension change affected them. You can see that back at the beginning of this period, back in 2011, there were 3,363 tenured faculty in the system. Now there are 3,374 in the system now with the replacement of the tier two faculty. The little drops, by the way, you can see those are the summer. That's basically the 9-month contracts ending for faculty. The ones that so that's when you see those little drops that are happening in those time periods. One official would just, since we don't have a budget, we might as well just reminisce about what's going on with budgets. I think, just a quick perspective about our budgets, where the money goes. And this is basically over the last dozen years. Urbana is the blue that of our total budget in this. And we would not be talking about payments on behalf in this, but 45.6% of the total budget is going to Urbana, and 46.8% goes to Chicago. And the first thing people say, well, you mean Chicago's bigger than Urbana? Well, obviously because of the medical center. That's what basically pushes that number higher. Mm-hmm. And then you get to the top three items. You have Springfield's at 2%. Something we call university programs is 3% of the budget. In university programs, these are monies held on a central basis and basically are doled out to the campuses. And they include things like health care, they include deferred maintenance, they include maintenance on our on Banner, on our major system, maintenance, security, upgrades to Banner. And all those, but those dollars are all doled out to the campuses, and UA is at 2.6% of the total budget. So just a quick perspective on how that rolls out. I have in the past shown you basically the combination, looking at the institutional support and academic support and administrative costs. I just thought I'd give you a quick snapshot of basically this is just UA, and basically over the last 10 years, the reduction of 208 full-time bodies in UA that are basically that we've seen in the last 10 years. So a reduction that we have there. Lastly, I just basically take a look at the prognosis for the university's financial prognosis going forward here for the remainder of this year and going in actually into 17. Again, I don't think that we're going to see anything happen. We're going to continue to advocate, but we won't see anything happening budget-wise until January of next year. And probably maybe into February. I don't know. They posted their schedules for next year. The Senate won't even come back until January the 12th. And I think the House, I think, is on top of that, the 12th or the 13th to even start. And I don't know that they're going to basically pass something on day one when they come back. So it could go. And the other thing is basically going to be coming up is there's primaries coming up next year. So that might be come into play, you know, as far as the budget activity. So it's totally uncertain. I showed you the data points. It really is uncertain what we're going to end up with as far as the budget. And then will there be the cash to pay it when we do have a budget? Because of this, we probably will not see a budget, what we call our orange book. If we'd be very lucky if you would see it at the March meeting. you might do a complete rotation. I mean, I don't know, we might not even be, you know, will we see it at May meeting or a special meeting, but our budget to pass something, awaiting the state to do their thing, we probably are looking at that delayed timeline. We'll continue to pay under our continuing appropriation throughout the rest of the fiscal year. I can't tell you what's going to happen with the monetary award program and the conversations that we had with the legislature on Tuesday. I mean, they're fully aware of what the dynamics are, you know, of the monetary assistance program and what's at stake. I think that when we get back here for the January meeting, you're probably going to see that 388 will now be up to over $500 million. I'm going to start wondering whether or not that's the money that's going to be, will there be a money available in an appropriation ultimately to build the state number like that. So it's going to be a significant number. I think I don't see any particular horizon for the capital. There's no talk about a capital program. And frankly, when you get downgraded to an AAA1, it's very difficult to issue bonds at a reasonable price, in the public markets. We continue to work on the Medicaid trust fund and the Medicaid payments, because this is again critical, and it's important to have these to keep the hospital and the clinics viable, for us. So that's probably one of the premier concerns at the top of our list, for the concern for the Medicaid payments. And I think lastly, with all this going on, I'm sure I'm just going to kind of defer to the high plenum, but the tuition decision timing could certainly be in jeopardy and in limbo without this some type of definitive state budget situation. So those are my comments, and let's try to I guess I'll close with a song, I guess. But
any questions for Walt? Very sobering. Yes, Trustee Courts.
To a novice, it appears that the state financial situation is kind of like a runaway freight train. What is the likelihood for? And what would the ramifications of be for some type of bankruptcy declaration by the state?
Well, I would hate to make any type of comment or prediction about that. There's always been this concern: can a sovereign or a state what can it go bankrupt type of thing? I mean, there's always been that kind of, but I really would not touch that with a 20-foot pole.
Other questions, comments? I know President Clean, you're going to make some comments later on the budget side, but thanks to both of you for your efforts Tuesday. Thank you, Walt.